In the NIV, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, it reads as follows. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, saying, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on the colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Amen. The word of God is blessed. Amen. May it bless the hearers and the doers of his word. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your people who have gathered. Lord God, we came together to give you praise. We came together to bless your name. We came together, Lord God, to experience a move of you, because you said, God, where we are two or three gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst. Thank you, Lord God, for being in our midst. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing a new thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for breaking chains. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for opening deaf ears and blind eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing bodies in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for doing something supernatural today. Oh, God, where we, Lord Jesus, have fallen short, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would bring us, Lord God, to the right place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. You can have your seats. Amen. And the passage that we just read is an account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as the Messiah. Amen. And I like Matthew's account of this triumphal entry, because it is noted in all of the Gospels. Amen. But Matthew shows Jesus as the Messiah. Amen. Throughout the whole book of Matthew, that's his message to the church. This is Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. And each account of the triumphal entry, Jesus instructs his disciple to go over to the next town, to a specific place. Amen? And in that place, they would find a young donkey, a donkey and his colt. They would be tied there. Amen? And he quotes Zechariah, because he is saying that Jesus is the Messiah. So Zechariah is one of the prophets that foretold Jesus being the Messiah. Amen. So Matthew, because he wants to get the message to us that Jesus is the Messiah, he goes back to the Old Testament and quotes Matthew. He goes back and grabs that scripture and says that this is what they said in the prophets. He is fulfilling the prophecy because he is the Messiah. And the prophet said, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey or an ass or a colt, and the foal of an ass. So Jesus chose to make his grand entry on a donkey. Somebody say a donkey. Now, donkeys, when we talk about donkeys, donkeys don't get a good rap. Amen. When you see them, donkeys are mean and they're stubborn. Amen. And they say, hee-haw. They don't even sound pleasant. Amen. Just irritating. That's the word. Irritating. But God used the donkey. Tell somebody, God used the donkey. God used the irritating donkey. God used the stubborn donkey. Amen. He is portrayed as being wild and stubborn. Amen. And headstrong. Amen. But Hosea 8:9, he uses the phrase like a wild donkey to describe people with a headstrong, untamed nature. Amen. People who are unsubmissive, people who lack guidance or won't be guided, refuse to be guided. Amen. Difficult to teach. Always flying off the handle, short-tempered. Amen. Wild donkey. That's a wild donkey. One that's unrefined, unteachable, headstrong. Amen. Untrainable. You can't do anything with it. Irritating. Amen. Now, that's a wild donkey. Anybody know any wild donkeys? But I want to talk to you about a domesticated donkey, a donkey that has been trained. And when a donkey is domesticated, that donkey is loyal. Somebody say loyal. Loyal. Yes, the donkey is loyal. What do I mean when I say loyal, Sister Rush? I mean somebody who goes with you all the way, somebody who is attached to you, somebody who is obedient. A trained donkey is loyal. Amen. And that loyal or domesticated donkey is one who knows his master. Amen. He knows his master. He is an obedient servant. His true role is to serve as a work animal. And the donkey, that donkey trampled seed and he turned millstone to grind grain and he pulls the plow. And did you know that donkeys can carry a large amount of weight, even in spite of their small size? They don't look like they can do a lot, but they can do a whole lot. Amen. Anybody know any domesticated donkeys? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Donkeys can carry a large amount of weight. Amen. And since they didn't require as much feed as horses, donkeys were more economical to own. But even though they were more economical to own, they were still ridden by the rich as well as the poor. A king riding on a donkey signified that he was coming in peace. So then Jesus' entry to Jerusalem on a donkey was a sign that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. So let's talk about this. Jesus told his disciples to loose them and bring them because he has need of them. So I want to talk to you about being at the right place at the right time. Because we are going to be that donkey that Jesus Christ has need of. Amen. So in order to be that person, I'm going to change it from donkey to person, that Jesus has need of, We need to be at the right place at the right time. Amen? At the right place at the right time. Somebody say it with me. At the right place at the right time. Now, Jesus told his disciples in the text that he said to go to a specific place and get a specific thing. Amen. Had the disciples gone to another place because they said, well, Jesus is just looking for a donkey, they would not have gotten the right donkey. Amen. But they went to the place that Jesus told them to go to. And so that donkey was there waiting for them. That specific donkey with the colt was waiting at that place for them to get there. And how many people know that if Jesus decrees a thing or if he says a thing, that that's going to happen? Somebody say amen. So, because somebody else say amen that knows it. Because there's somebody here who doesn't know that when Jesus says something, amen, that he means it. Amen, that and it will come to pass. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent for a thing. Amen. So God does not lie and he does not sin. Amen. God will not lie. If he says that it is so, it is so. If God says that I'm healed, then I am healed. If God says that I'm free, then I am free. If God says that I'm more than a conqueror, then I am. Come on, y'all, act like you know what I'm talking about today. Amen. But I'm talking about being at the right place at the right time. Amen. So, the right place. Sometimes we are in the wrong place. Sometimes we're in the wrong place physically. We are not where we are supposed to be. Some of us are supposed to be in church today, but we are not here. Amen. We are in the wrong place. There are sometimes people are in the wrong place that are associated in at the wrong time, and something tragic happens because they send people say that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what happens to people. Amen. Place is important. It's important for you to be at the right place. If it's Monday at 9:30 in the morning and you are supposed to be in school, then that is the place you need to be. If you're supposed to be at work, that is the place that you are supposed to be. This donkey was in the place where he was supposed to be. When we are in the place that we're supposed to be, God can use us. So let's take this donkey, for example. The donkey was minding his own business, but the Bible says that he was tied up. He was tied up so that he could remain in the place where God wanted him to be, so that he could be where God needed him to be when God wanted to use him. Sometimes there are some of us who feel like we are tied up. Some of us feel like I don't want to be in a specific place, or I don't want to be at that church, or I don't want to be in this family. I don't want to be in this marriage. I don't want to be at this job, and I feel like I'm tied up. I feel like I'm tied up. I feel like I can't do what I really want to do. I'm not free to do what I really want to do. I'm not free to be me. I'm not free to use my gifts and my talents. I can imagine this donkey was thinking, I can carry a lot of load. I can do a lot of things. I can trample a lot of corn and grain. I can do a whole lot of stuff, but I'm tied up here. I'm tied up and I'm not comfortable. And sometimes we're tied up and we're not comfortable where we are. Amen. But how many people know that that donkey had to be where it was because Jesus had need of him? Sometimes God will tie you up in a place. Sometimes you will be tied to a job. Sometimes you will be tied to a husband or a spouse. Amen. When, oh my Lord, help me here, Jesus. Sometimes you'll be tied up because God is keeping you there because he has a greater purpose for you. Amen. And so he's keeping you in that place, in the right place, because in the appointed time, he is going to use you. Amen. So you be there and you stay in the right place. Sometimes you need to be in the right place mentally. Amen. You need to be in the right place spiritually. Amen. Because God can't use us when we are in the wrong place. What do you mean in the wrong place, Sister Rush? I mean, our attitudes are all wrong. I mean our thinking disposition is all wrong. We're negative and we're complaining all the time about what's not happening and who's not doing and what I don't have. And we're complaining, and God is saying that you need to get in the right place before I can use you to do what I need you to do. Amen. You got to be in the right place. I'm trying to preach this thing the way that God gave it to me. I need you to help me a little bit here. If we can get in the right place, sometimes we're not in order. We're disobedient. We're like that donkey, amen, that is unrefined. We can be disobedient and we can get, oh my Lord, have mercy. We can buck. Every time somebody says something, amen, positive, or if the pastor says, let's do this, all of a sudden we're bucking. I don't think that that's going to work. I don't know why we have to come to sunrise service. Bucking the system and bucking everything that the pastor's got to say. And then you don't know it, but you're irritating. You're irritating to the body. And all we hear is, yeah. You're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place when you will not get in line with the vision of the church and what the pastor is trying to do and where he is trying to lead us. Amen. And you off to the side and you got people who want to follow the vision, who want to follow leadership, and you are in the wrong place when you grab them and say, when you grab them and say, I don't know why Pastor decided to do that. Well, you know what? I ain't gonna do it. You need to shut up and sit down and leave God's people alone. If you're gonna be in the wrong place, then you be in the wrong place. Like I told you, bad things happen sometimes to people who are in the wrong place at the wrong time. You don't want to be in the wrong place, amen, but you want to be in a place where God can use you, amen, not so the enemy can use you. The enemy uses you to sow discord. The enemy uses you to bring strife among the brethren. That is not God-like. Amen. If what you're saying and what you're doing is not bringing unity in the body of Christ, you're in the wrong place. God cannot use us if we are in the wrong place. Amen. But I thank God because there are some of us, amen, who have decided, listen, I know that it's hard sometimes. And I know that the thing gets tight sometimes. And I mean, I know that I feel bound and I can't move. But as soon and very soon, hallelujah, hallelujah, if you just hold out and wait a little while longer and set your hope on Jesus Christ, the everlasting God, hallelujah. If you just hold out, Paul said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you just stay there, don't move, stand still. Sometimes we move a little too much. we want to do this and that and other thing. We want to do this and that and the other thing. And then when we stop, sometimes God will stop us. And it seems like we're stagnant and we're not moving. And it seems, yes, it's stuck. Seems like we're stuck. But what God wants to do is he wants to stop us so that he can use us. He wants us to stop so that we can think, so that our minds can be adjusted, so that our attitudes can be adjusted, so that we will become more humble, amen, so that we will become usable, amen. And it seems like we're bound. Can I have that? You come on. I'm going to tie you up. But it seems like we're bound. Seems like we can't move. And sometimes when we're in that place, where it seems like we're bound and it seems like we're uncomfortable and we're in that place where we don't want to be, we're all tied up. Sometimes what happens is we get discouraged because we want to do what we want to do. Amen. And then it even shows in our praise, because we can't move, because our hearts are bound. We can't move. And when the praise and worship leader says, come on, lift your hands and give God praise, you can't hardly lift your hands. It's a struggle for you to get your hands up. It's a struggle for you to do anything. But I tell you, if you praise your way through, amen, after a while and by, Jesus is going to send, amen, his men. He's going to send his disciples, amen. There's somebody who is on the way. The Holy Spirit is on the way, amen. And soon and very soon, amen, and time after time, you just waited and waited and waited. And time after time, you said, God, how long do I have to be here? How long do I have to be in this situation? How long do I have to be here? But soon and very soon, the Lord's going to send somebody. He's going to say, loose them and let them go. Loose them and set them free. And when he looses you, you're going to know exactly what you need to do. The Bible says that those donkeys came willingly. And he said, listen, if anybody says anything to you, because it's time for you to move now. It's time for you to move now. It's not time for you to stay in the same place. When Jesus comes, when he releases you, it's time for you to move. Amen. And that's the only time that you move, when the Spirit of the Lord releases you, when he says, loose her, let her go. Loose him, let him go. Set him free. I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus when he was dead. He was in the grave. And when he came out of the grave, Jesus rose him from the dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And it said that Lazarus came forth, but he was bound. Amen. He was bound. Somebody said, Jesus is the only one who can set you free. He is the only one who can set you free. And he will do it. Lazarus came out bound in his grave clothes. He couldn't move. He was bound. Amen. But he was alive because Jesus rose him from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Jesus, after he came out, but Lazarus was alive, but he was still bound. Glory to God. And Jesus told him, he said, loose the man and let him go. Hallelujah. And Lazarus was loosed. Glory to God. God is going to loose you if you will be still. Amen. He sees you where you are. He sees you exactly where you are. He knows what place you're in. He knows what kind of disposition you are in. He knows what kind of family situation you have. He knows what's going on at your job. He knows. He sees you. He cares. He cares. In due time, he will release you, and it's at that time that you will do exactly what he wants you to do. Amen. God will use you. Amen. He rode on that donkey. Amen. Amen. Just to proclaim to the whole world that he is the Messiah. And God will use you to proclaim to the whole world that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Do you believe it today? Yeah. Clap your hands if you believe it today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, but in order for you to do what God wants you to do, you got to be in order. Amen. You got to be in order. You got to be in the right place. Amen. Let your heart be in the right place. Let your motives be in the right place. Amen. Glory to God. But God knows. He knows your hang-ups. He knows your limitations. He does. He knows everything about you. But he wants you to say yes. He wants you to submit to him, just like that donkey, amen, submits to the Lord. He submitted to the Lord, and he let the Lord have control of him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I went all away from this whole thing, and I'm trying to catch up. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't think I'm going to be able to get into this. Amen. The way that I wanted to, because I went a whole different way. Amen. I went a whole different way. Hallelujah. But when you are in the right place, Lord, when you are in the right place, amen, the right time will come along, amen. It's the right time when Jesus says it's the right time. It's not, sometimes we feel like we, you know, that it's the right time right now. Now, yep, I'm ready right this minute, amen. But no, God said in his appointed time, amen. All things will come to pass in his appointed time. Amen. He's going to do it in his appointed time. And when his time comes, we need to be submissive. We need to let the Lord rest on us. We need to let the Lord control us. What do you mean, Sister Rush, we need to let the Lord control us? I mean, we need to let the Holy Spirit have control. Let the Holy Spirit control our tongue. Let the Holy Spirit control our thinking. Let the Holy Spirit control our actions. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Let the Holy Spirit rest on us. In Acts chapter 2, it says that when the Holy Ghost came, amen, the Holy Spirit rested on them like tongues of fire, amen, like cloves of fire rested upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit rest on you. Amen. Anybody want the Holy Spirit to rest on you? Thank you, Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Thank you, Jesus, so that we can present Jesus to the whole world. Present him to the whole world at the appointed time. Amen. We don't speak. We're learning in evangelism explosion that we don't always go out right away and tell somebody, you need to be saved. You know, first time you meet, do you know Jesus? No. At the appointed time, we do that. It's at the appointed time that we present Jesus to the world. Let them know that he is the Lamb of God, that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the life, that Jesus will be a keeper. He is a healer. Amen. He is a deliverer. I believe all of this. Amen. I believe that he is and that he will do exactly what he says. How do I know? Because I was once lost in sin. I was in the wrong place. Amen. And sometimes physically. Amen. But also spiritually. I was in the wrong place. But one day I submitted to God. Amen. I couldn't go on my parents' prayers. Yeah, I was in church. I was in the right place being in church. Because that's where I grew up. Seems like I was born here in church. Amen. And because I was in church, a lot of times I would feel like I was okay. I felt like I was all right. I felt like, you know, oh, yeah, I'm making it to heaven. I go to church every Sunday. No. Matter of fact, I go to church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. They used to sing that song when I was coming up. Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? Amen. Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day, Sunday. Isn't it? That's how it was. I was in church all the time. I was here. That's what I did. And even when I got to the point where I was out of church sometimes, when I was college, when I wasn't partying, well, I didn't party a whole lot. But when I was out, even when I wasn't partying outside of the church, I was partying in the church. Because that's how we partied. Church kids, we partied by going to church. Amen. So when I was in college, I partied with my college friends. And when I was in church, I partied with my church friends in church. We partied in church. We weren't serious about what we were doing. We weren't serious about the Lord. We weren't serious about the Holy Spirit. We weren't serious about nothing. We were singing in the choir. We were ushering on the usher board. We come inside church. We shouted. We did everything. And amen, we not just in our church, but we partied at everybody else's church. We went to church after church on Sunday to the concert down at Holy Trinity. We was at the Citadel. We was at we was at everybody's church, and we was having a good time. We was laughing and cracking up in the back of the church. We was pointing at people, and when the music got good, we did our dance. Amen. Sometimes we'd fall out, but we weren't serious. We were in the wrong place. I was in church thinking that I was all right doing everything that church people did, but I had a bad heart. And my heart was going to get me killed. It was going to take me out. If I didn't get my heart fixed, I would have died in sin, in church. That's a bad thing. Nope, I didn't have the testimony that I went out and I got involved in drugs and I was in the world in a miserable life of sin and one day God found me. Amen. No, God found me in church. And I really feel like it was difficult when you got to know that you're wrong first before God can help you. You have to admit that you're a sinner and that you're in the wrong place in order for God to deliver you, in order for God to set you free. You got to know that you're wrong. You got to confess with your mouth, the Bible says. You got to confess the Lord Jesus. We got to repent and turn away from the wrong thing. Amen. But if you don't know that you're wrong, if you feel like you are right, amen. Even if you look at some of your friends that you went to high school with and you saw that it was all messed up and tore up and you're looking at them talking about, I'm better than them. So I ain't like them. Glory to God. But we were both on our way to a devil's hell. Both of us. Just different way. I had church clothes on going to hell. But until I got in the right place, my mind had to change. I had to realize one day I heard the word of God, actually heard the word of God, and it touched my heart. And I realized at that time that I was a sinner and that I had need of Jesus Christ. And even though my parents were saved, my grandmother was saved. Amen. Some of my brothers and sisters were saved. Even though all of that, I needed Jesus for me. And it couldn't be my grandmother's prayers or my mother's prayers that could get me into heaven. Because none of that could happen. I had to come to Jesus on my own, for myself. And it was at that time when I changed my position. I was in the right place mentally. because I realized that I was wrong. Not until you realize that you're wrong that the Lord can set you free. And he set me free one day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now I'm free to worship. I'm free to praise him. I'm free to give him glory. Amen. Before, I was playing and I was looking at my friends, and when we were shouting, Lord Jesus, have mercy. It was a whole lot of mess. But now, I'm free, and I raise my hands to the Lord because I know who he is. And I don't just know who he is. He knows who I am. Hallelujah. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my faults. He knows every thought that I have. And he still loves me. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Dear God, I thank you and I praise you. Lord God, there are some of us who, Lord God, are stuck. We don't know why. It feels like our creativity is being cut and everything is just wrong and we don't see a way out. Help us to be still and to trust you right where we are, because you are the only one who can set us free. And when you set us free, Lord God, when you set us free, Lord God, we know that we're going to be set free to do miraculous things for you. And the whole world will know that Jesus saves. The whole world will know that Jesus delivers.